said as the captain of the golf team and president of my class, knowing that I was dating the prettiest girl in school. I had dreams of law school and a life in politics. Now I was dying at the hands of what could only be considered as the leprosy of our time. No matter who was around, it was a very lonely time. The first weekend I spent with my grandparents after the diagnosis was awkward. My disease was not discussed. No one wanted to be the first to mention the diagnosis. After Sunday breakfast, my grandfather asked me to take a ride with him. We drove the familiar road to the hill overlooking the golf course and sat together in silence. My grandfather's habit, when we would arrive, was to say an open-eye prayer. He liked to say that no one else would want him to say an open-eye prayer, because prayer was supposed to be with our eyes closed and our heads bowed. But sitting here or in the orchard, my grandfather would ask, "How can we pray to God and be thankful for all we have and see, and be afraid to look up and actually take it all in?" My grandfather's reasoning always made sense to me when we were sitting there, though I dared not try the open-eye prayer anywhere else. Looking up also meant making our prayers more about God than about ourselves, which so many prayers seem to be. So we would pray, looking up, around, and at each other. It was always a great moment, filled with laughter, smiles, and an occasional loving stare from a grandfather to his grandson. On this particular day, my grandfather finished the prayer and then took my hand. He had looked over at me several times. We knew there was more in the air than just the breeze, and much more to discuss. Finally, my grandfather broke the silence. "What are you going to do with this thing?" He never used the letters HIV or the word AIDS, and he never talked about sickness or disease, but I knew exactly what he was talking about. "I don't know. There's no cure," I said, looking down while messing with a blade of grass. "There is not much of a choice." "You always have a choice," my grandfather said, his voice steady. He was straightforward in his words, but not gruff or difficult in his tone. He just wanted me to hear and pay attention. "What choice do I have?" I asked. There didn't seem to be many choices on my end. In fact, the doctors had not given any, and most, if not everyone in my life, were walking around as though resigned to the fact that there were no choices available. "Sometimes," I finally added, "I feel like running as fast as I can. I am not sure where I would go, but just to see if I could outrun this feeling of loneliness and dread in my life." My grandfather was listening. "And then there are times when I just want to lie down and let it be over. Some days it is hard to find a reason to feel joyful again. That scares me more than the disease." My grandfather had looked back at the horizon.